As I told you, it is not going to be possible for me to explain the whole topic today. It will take me 3 weeks to finish this topic, which is regarding the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The point that I want to concentrate upon today is regarding those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Who are those who are loved by Allah? Inshallah, at the end of this talk, you will see whether you are one of those whom Allah loves. If you are not, then try your best to be among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated 8 groups of people whom He loves. He showed His love to them in the dunya as well as akhirah. The first one, or the first group of the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, are the al-muqatiluna fi sabilillah, those who fight in the way of Allah, fight in His way, jihad, those who engage in jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them so much, and He shows His love to them in the dunya as well as akhirah. This has been stated in so many verses of the Holy Quran, which I'm going, inshallah, to analyze later or to explain. The first ayah, maybe you may refer to, is Surah As-Saf. In Surah As-Saf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in chapter 61, verse number 4, chapter 61, verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ. Allah loves those who fight in His way. I will interpret this verse later. Firstly, I want to outline these people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And then after this, I will quote the verses regarding the love of Allah towards these people. So those who engage in the jihad are loved by Him. Number two, Al-Muhsinun, those who have ihsan in their deed. Those who have ihsan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. And what is ihsan? This is a concept which cannot be translated into English, but I will have to explain it later. That one has been stated in chapter 2, ayah 195. Chapter 2, ayah 195, Al-Baqarah 195. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have got ihsan. And I will explain what is meant by ihsan. Number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do tawbah. They do tawbah a lot. Whoever performs the tawbah a lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him so much. And so many verses have been stated on this. One of these verses is the one which is in Al-Baqarah 222, chapter 2, ayah 222. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Inna allaha yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. He loves those who do the tawbah, who perform the tawbah, and they are also purifying themselves. Indeed, it is a 9 groups, not 8. Number 4 is al-mutatahhirin, those who purify themselves. Those who purify themselves, the purification we are referring to here is the spiritual purification as well as the physical purification. Whoever purifies himself, cleans himself, is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is number 4. The same ayah refers to the same, 222 Al-Baqarah. From here we state number 5, Al-Muttaqun, those who have taqwa. And what is taqwa? This is another concept which needs to be explained in detail. So whoever has got taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him. What shows? Surah Al-Imran, Al-Imran chapter 3, verse number 76. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah loves those who have got taqwa. I'll go into the details of these verses later. Number 7 or number 6, As-Sabirun, those who are patient, they have got sabr in their deeds. Those who have sabr or patience, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them, and we shall talk about what kind of patience is meant in the Holy Quran.
The verse which refers to this is Ali Imran, which is chapter 3, ayah 146. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin, and Allah loves those who are patient. Number 7, Al-Mutawakkilun.
Those who have tawakkal on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do put their trust in Him, and they don't have any worry about anything. So, because they have trust, full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is tawakkul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. I will explain the meaning of it. This is stated in Ali Imran again, chapter 3, 159. Ayah 159. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-mutawakkilin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have got tawakkal in their deeds. And then number 8, Al-Muqsitun. These are the people who commit themselves to doing justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them so much. So many verses of the Quran do mention that. And one of them is the ayah which is stated in Al-Ma'idah, which is chapter 5, ayah number 42. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who do commit themselves to doing justice. Now it is time for us to go into the details regarding each and every group here, and get to know whether we are included among those people whom Allah loves.
Eight or nine?
Altogether,
eight.
How many are these?
Eight.
Yeah. They are supposed to be eight. Maybe I was also somehow confused. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8. They are 8. Yeah. Because I was considering 1 to be 2. So in the end, I realized that they are 8 together. So these are 8 groups of people. I'm very sure that you are falling somewhere. So if you are not included in this, then you are not among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And you should make sure, therefore, to be somewhere, you know, in these 8 groups of people. Otherwise, you will be deprived of Allah's love on the day of judgment as well as in the dunya. Regarding those who fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is meant by jihad in this particular ayah? The jihad which is meant here, firstly, is the jihad against the evil. Jihad against the evil. You have to remember that what we mean by jihad in Islam is a war, a struggle against the evil. Because jihad in Islam is not just any kind of fighting, and jihad is not something which should be there all the time. I mean, when it comes to removing the evil, if there is no evil to be removed at that particular moment, then this may not be required. But to my understanding, jihad is there all the time, because we do fight against the evil, and the evil is always present. The evil may be outside you, the evil may be in you. Why? Because if you happen to be committing certain things which Allah has forbidden, it means that you have got certain things in your heart which are not good. It is a disease. The diseases, what are the diseases which we have? The diseases which we have are so many. They have been outlined by the ulama, and I'm not going to give all of them here. But one of the diseases is envy, which most Muslims do have, jealousy. They don't want to see others prospering, progressing. They feel so bad when they see them. This is a disease. Indeed, to my understanding, what has kept the Muslims behind is envy. When you get to see those who are not believers in Allah, they work together. They work together and they help one another. When it comes to the Muslims, they don't want to help one another. One wants to progress, but he does not want to see others progressing. When others progress, he doesn't feel happy. He wants to make them fail. So this is a disease. And every Muslim must fight against this disease, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this kind of illness, envy, does eat all the good things, just like the wood fire will eat the firewood. It does not spare anything good. So fight against it. Remove it from your heart, uproot it from your heart. And if you succeed, you'll have succeeded in the jihad against the nafsu. Because the jihad against the nafsu is the most difficult. I begin with that. And then the jihad again against the nafsu will involve that kind of, you know, hatred. Hate we have towards other people, that we hate them. Sometimes for no reason. And somebody asks you, why do you hate him? I don't know why I hate him, but I just hate him. That one is not allowed in Islam, because you should not hate anybody, because Allah does not hate anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves everybody, and we have spoken about love here. If you are aiming at getting Allah's love, then you need to love everything. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that do love, have mercy on Allah's creatures, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have rahmah, mercy on you. Rasulullah loved everything, not only human beings. It is stated that at one time, Rasulullah was addressing the Sahaba, and everybody was sitting there. Suddenly, a bird came and stepped on his head, and as if it was listening to his talk, and it told him of something, which he got to understand as a prophet. It was complaining about one Sahaba. Among those who were present at that time listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was the complaint about? It was complaining about the Sahaba who did steal or take away its egg. He took away the egg and he kept it somewhere. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ask the Sahaba, is there anybody among you here who have taken its egg? And one Sahaba said, it is me, Ya Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, please return it out of mercy. And he did return it. When he returned it, it was very happy, and it flew away. So that was Rasulullah showing mercy to every living creature. Love, and we should have that. That is the love. And if you hate, it's the opposite of love. It means that you don't love. To the extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you are to slaughter, you still have to show love to the animal you are going to slaughter, so that you don't make it suffer. That is also one of the teachings of Islam, that Islam loves everything, and we have to be very, very kind to everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So hating people or other creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in iman. And there are so many other sicknesses which we need to talk about. Kufur, disbelief in any of Allah's promises, signs indicated in the whole Quran, is a major illness. You must fight against it. Laziness is another sickness which you must fight against, because a Muslim shouldn't be lazy. A Muslim has to be very hardworking and should never accept laziness in his heart. And so many other things. Inshallah, we are going to talk long about those things in future. That is the jihad against the nafsu. If you succeed in directing your nafsu towards the right way, then you are included among the those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. These are the ones to attain al-falah, success, a happy life in the dunya as well as akhirah. The ones who succeed in fighting against the evils, the jihad against the disbelievers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not as understood by many people today. They say that when Muslims talk about the jihad, they are actually aiming to kill the disbelievers in Islam. Is not the aim of jihad. Indeed, when we fight jihad, we only fight those people who happen to do injustice. When they do injustice, we fight them, even if they are Muslim. We still have to fight them, because injustice is not allowed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe based on justice. He created the universe based on justice, and the universe does exist because of justice. If there is no justice, the universe will not exist. Why? The sun is giving justice to the moon. They never travel in the same way. They never collide. They never fight. If that happens, the universe will not last. The day and the night, they come at different times. If they are to collide, this universe will not exist. Each is giving justice to the other. The animals are giving justice to others, but human beings are not. Human beings are the only living creatures. They are only creatures living and non-living creatures, if you are to compare. Only human beings are the ones who are actually transgressing the limits. They are not doing justice. So this must be also put into consideration, that when we fight jihad, we fight against the evil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to see the evil. He says in the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, As-Saff 61 ayah number 4. Inna Allah yuhibbu alladhina yuqatiluna fi sabilihi saffa ka'annahum bunyanun marsus. You've got the Quran and you can see the translation as given there. He says he loves those who happen to fight in his way in lines, saffa. They fight in lines, ka'annahum bunyan. They are just like the building. Because the building is attached together, the walls are attached together, they are not separated. What does he mean? During those days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muslims used to fight the jihad. And the way they used to fight the jihad is different from the way we fight it today. They used to stick together in a group. They had to stick together not to allow the enemy to pass through them. So, as if they are holding one another, so the enemies cannot come and pass through, and then they fight in a group. First it used to be Mubaraza. Mubaraza means that when the jihad is about to start, the disbelievers will stand on one side and Muslims will stand on the other side. And then those who feel that they are courageous enough to come forward, they will come forward and challenge those from the other group. So one person from the Muslim side or from the other side will come forward and say that I do challenge you. Then one person from this side will come and the two will fight. Then if one happens to kill the other group will have to come and attack, and this will also start attacking. But when they are attacking, they will attack, you know, together. They come together and fight the enemy together. So they are not separated in groups. Today, Muslims are unable to fight the jihad against the evil because they are not united. They are separated in groups. Different groups, they cannot fight the enemy. They have to come together to fight against the evil. Only then they will be successful in doing it. Otherwise, they will never be successful in doing that kind of jihad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in this particular verse that he loves those who fight in his way. So whoever has fought in the jihad is assured of getting Allah's rahmah. In ayah, this is chapter 8 and 5, ayah number 60, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِدُّ لَهُمْ مَسْتَكَاتُ مِنْ قُوَى. He's telling you that you have always to prepare that which you think is needed at that time to fight against the enemies, those who cause the evil and corruption. It's not that you have always to use the sword. The swords were used during the time of Rasulullah. Today, you may not use the sword to fight against the evil. There are so many other weapons which may be used by the Muslims to fight against the evil. Those ones are allowed based on this particular verse in the Quran. Allah says, use whatever you are able to use at that particular moment, indeed, at that particular time. So, regarding jihad, I'm very sure that all of you know much about jihad. In future, we are going to elaborate more on jihad. Today, I only give you a brief explanation of this eight group of people, just to find out whether we do fall into one of them. If not, then we need to do something. Those who have got ihsan. What is ihsan? Ihsan has a very wide meaning. And the English word used actually to refer to ihsan, people will always say, use this word, benevolence. But this is not the word to convey the meaning of ihsan. Why? Let us go into the verses of the Quran. You may look at the translation given in your copies. One of the ayat talking about ihsan is Al-Baqarah, as we have said, ayah number 195, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Inna Allah yuhibbu al-muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have got ihsan. 195.
When you look before this part, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says wa anfiqu fi sabilillah wa la tulqu bi aydikum ila tahluka wa ahsinu inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin.
It's instructing you to give away what he has given you, to give part of it in his way. Allah has blessed the human beings with so many things. Those who are blessed are supposed to share what they have with others. You should never enjoy the progress alone. You have to share it with other people for so many, many reasons which I will not give today. But then when somebody refuses to give, he's refusing to give what Allah has given. And it is not proper to refuse to give that which does not belong to you. Somebody happens to give you 1,000 ringgit and he says, please share it with this person, and you refuse and say, no, I will not do that. It means that you don't understand. This person has given you and is the one instructing you to share what he has given you with others. Allah has given you whatever you have. Whether you have worked for it, it is still from him, because what Allah gives, it does not just fall from the heaven and people take. But he has given you the intelligence based on which you can make money. He has deprived the others of the intelligence, so that those who have the intelligence will help those who are not given intelligence. Those who are physically, let's say, strong, they are able to make a lot of money than those who are physically weak. If you are physically strong, you need to help those who are physically weak. If not, you are not appreciating what Allah has given you. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you are giving in his way, indeed, what he wants you to know here is that have ihsan when you are giving. Because Allah loves those who have ihsan. What is ihsan? Ihsan is to treat people in the best way. In what kind of way? Let's say, if you are going to give 100 ringgit, try to think about it. Is it enough if I give it to this particular person? Then you give more. When you give more, you are doing it because of ihsan. You may be required to pay zakah, and your zakah is 1,000 ringgit. But then you are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have so much money. Don't give only 1,000. You may give 2,000. Because if you give more, that is the ihsan. Ihsan is to give more than what is required. When it comes to money, you give more than what is required. Ihsan also means that if you are to give away donations, you are to give away the cloth. You have the right to give away the old cloth, that which you don't like anymore. But if you buy a new one, that is ihsan. Even if the old one can still be yours, is still called ihsan. So ihsan will refer to a lot of things, and the ones I've just stated are just a few of those. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is Al-Kahf, ayah 30, chapter 18, verse number 30. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati, inna la nudhi'u ajra man ahsana amala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who have surely committed themselves to Iman, they are going to believe in him, and then they are doing what has been commanded by him, the Amal Salih, the good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely we, he uses the word surely and we. These two words, when they appear in the Quran, inna, surely, we, it means Allah is emphasizing, and there should be no doubt about what he says here, because the word surely removes any doubt from somebody's mind. And we refer to him. He does not say I. He's one. He's not more than one. Instead, here he says we, as if he's more than one. Indeed, because human beings understand things differently, and Allah has conveyed the Quran in a language understood by them. So we understand that if someone is to say to you that I will give you this, that one is not the same if all of them say we are going to help you. If so many people say that we are going to help you, you are assured that they are going to help you, because many of them will not go against their word. So when Allah says we, is emphasizing the fact that what is going to state here is real, is going to give it, there is no doubt about it, and you have to hope for that greatest reward. He says, لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا. The reward for those people who have ihsan in their deeds, they give more than what is required, and they do the things in the best way, ihsan is also to do things in the best way, which you call itikan, perfection. And I remember Son Said Barakat was asking me a hadith on itikan, and I tried my best to look for it. That was 2 years ago, and I just couldn't find it. Just recently I was reading, and I came across that hadith. Then I remembered that he was asking me about this particular hadith. Firstly, I got to find out that it is reported in one source. But when I got to read other books, I found out that it is also stated in, I think, Muslim. So this hadith is a very good one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah loves those people when they happen to do the things, they do them in the state of perfection. They perfect what they do. If you are to do ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do it with perfection. Don't just do it because it is an obligation. It is time for salah, you want to finish it and continue watching the movie, and just go and do it in just 3 minutes and you finish it. That is not perfection. Allah doesn't love it. What Allah loves is that which you do in the state of tranquility. In the state of tranquility that you are not disturbed. What should you be disturbed? At the time when you are going to serve the one you love so much. When people are going to meet their lovers, they'll dress nicely, put the perfume, and go and spend time. Sometimes they will even talk on the phone for 5 hours and they never get tired. They will never get tired. Somebody is just talking to the lover, and the one they talk to is a human being who cannot offer him anything. But when you are to meet Allah, the one you should love most. And Rasulullah said, nobody will ever believe. Nobody is considered to be a believer until he will love Allah more than his parents, more than anybody else. If you love Allah more than your parents, more than anybody else, then you are a true believer. So, how do you express the love to Allah? Expression of the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not lie in the way we do it. Let's say you send gifts to him, he doesn't need them. Expression of love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not is not based on the words, and you say, Allah, I love you. He does not accept it. You may say to the human being that you love her or you love him, even if you don't mean it in your heart. But Allah is reading the heart. He knows whether it is in your heart or not. And he wants to see it in the actions. Love of Allah is seen in the actions. The more amal you do, the more love you show to him. Because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, when you read the Quran, you recite it, you will not recite only 2 verses. You are going to recite 1 juzuh, and you'll be very patient because you are talking to the one you love. You are spending time with him. When you are praying, you will take your time. And you perform the salah, at least, let's say you take about 10 minutes, 15 minutes performing one salah, because you are standing before the one you love. He's there looking at you, and you are showing love to him in this way. Unfortunately, we don't have that love. We don't love Allah, and Allah loves us. So there is no balance here. Of course, you can never balance the love of Allah and your love with him. There can never be a balance. But you need to look into it. The way you do ibadah, whether it shows love or not, but Allah only loves those deeds which are done based on perfection. It can. If you don't attain that perfection in the way you do the things, Allah does not love them. Inshallah, we elaborate more upon ihsan in future, because it is one of the aspects in aqidah which need to be well addressed. But one way to attain ihsan, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained it when he was asked by Jibreel in a hadith reported by Umar. Jibreel asked him, tell me about ihsan. And Rasulullah said, ihsan means an ta'bud Allah, is to perform the ibadah to Allah ka'annaka tarahu, as if you are seeing him. Because even if you don't see him, Allah is there seeing you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the whole Quran in so many verses, and he has said that do whatever you do and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see what you are doing. And Allah is very near to you than this kind of vein which is here, and very near to you. Allah is nearer to you than that. Is nearer to you than that, that you don't have to shout. Even if you think about something, he has already known about it, showing you how close he is to you. Now, when you are doing the ibadah, know that Allah is there watching what I'm doing. Just like when you are going to do a deed, a kind of work given to you by your employer. The employer is standing there. He wants to see how you are performing. You make sure that you do it in the perfect way. But when it's not there, you are relaxed and you don't care about what you are doing. So Allah does not leave you at any moment. And the Quran says kulla yawmin huwa fi sha'an, is very busy every moment, busy recording what you are doing and busy monitoring everything that we are doing. If you keep that in mind, that Allah is watching, there's nothing which can be hidden away from Him, then inshallah you do whatever you are doing with perfection, ihsan. And khushu is one of them, khushu which most people do not attain in their prayers. I briefly wrote about khushu. What I wrote about it was just 20% of my paper on khushu, but the details were not given there. I only gave a few points. If you read details about khushu, you will find that indeed we don't have it in our prayers, and without which many ulama believe the salah is rejected, because salah, a bodily movement which included the recitation, praises of Allah, you praise Him, but you praise Him with absent mind. The mind is not concentrated on what you are doing. You don't know even what you are saying, yet you are praising Him. Salah involves the dua that you pray to Allah, asking Him for more things to be given to you, but your mind is away from what you are asking. You are not concentrated on what you are asking. Salah will not be differentiated from the dance. When people are dancing, is also a bodily movement. If you are dancing, exercising is a movement of the body. So when you move your body in the exercises or in the dance, and the same time here you perform the salah, you are moving your body, but with the mind which is not concentrated, that salah is just the same as an exercise, a physical exercise which involves no reward, based on the view of the majority of the ulama. Even if some say that khushu in the salah is just a perfection, itikan, but what is itikan is what Allah loves, and there are so many verses to support that without which Allah will not accept it, He will reject it. And Rasulullah has stated it in so many verses, so many hadith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Isra that وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُ مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, we shall present their deeds to them on the day of judgment, but the deeds will be just like the bubbles on water, they are given to you, nothing will be left behind. What you did, everything will be presented to you. Allah won't ask you why you didn't do it, you did it and it is recorded in the book, but the thing is about the weight. Remember, you enter paradise based on the weight. The weight on the mizan, on the scale. What kind of weight? The weight of your amal and belief together. Now the weight of your amal is not there because the salah contained no weight. You did it just like an exercise which did not achieve the end. And what is the end in all ibadah? The end in all ibadah is zikrullah, to remember Allah. Remember Allah in your salah, remember Him outside the salah. That's why He says in the Quran, after He states in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, when you attend the Friday prayer and the salah is over, go back to your work, wazkurullaha kathira, and remember Allah so much. Because in the salah you are remembering Him, outside the salah you will never forget Him. Salah should help you to remember Allah all the time. If you stay a moment in your life without remembering Him, you are kept away from Him. If you continue to remember Him, you are brought very near to Him. And ihsan is in that, if you do things to acquire that end. So there are so many things that we can always say about ihsan. Indeed, I cannot go into these other points because the time is over, unfortunately. But this topic, I may continue from where I have stopped, inshallah, next week. You may, just based on these two, to see whether you are one of those whom Allah loves, whether you participate in the jihad, or whether you have ihsan in what you are doing. Somebody may ask me, do we need jihad today? Yes. There is no time when jihad will not be there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined jihad, and he defined also hijrah. So when you are fighting to stop that kind of bad thing you are doing in your life, you are engaged in a jihad. When you are relaxed and you never fight against it, you are not participating in the jihad. And this is wajib upon men and women. Everybody has to forget it so that you will attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm very sorry that I have to stop here. And inshallah, elaborate upon the rest next week.
maybe this topic will again take us nearly 1 month, because I'm unable to complete the rest and I have to go into the details of each and everything I've stated here. If you have something to ask, you can ask in about 5 minutes, because there will be a talk after this, and inshallah other things I will listen to next week before I start my explanation. Thank you very much.